Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's working? Okay, well, praise the Lord. I just thank God for this wonderful time the Lord has given to all of us to worship Him, because this is what we do in heaven 24/7. So before I preach, I request my dear friend Paul to come and share what happened to him in India. Like, you know, the way things have taking shape. So please, Paul, could you come and share? Please come. Give him a big round of applause. Yeah. Good, good. Please come.
Are you going to translate?
Yes, I'll try. I'll try to translate. Push the button.
Yeah, over there I have a translator.
Yes.
So if anybody speaks Telugu, he'll translate. But that's probably not the case. So what happened is I passed out and busted my lip while I was over there in Moan's house. So that was on the last day, but that was after a couple of days of hard travel. And I was way low on water, a little low on food, and I just jumped up too fast, got lightheaded, and next thing I know, I was on the floor. So our trip over there is, we go over there and build churches, but that's not the most important thing we do. I think the most important thing, and we've talked about that before, I said, you know, we could just send money. I don't have to come over and drop it off. But we could just send money and they'd get a church built. They can do that. The connection is with people. A few weeks ago, Jennifer shared, and she let me share a little bit about what it meant for us to become a family. So that's what happens when we go over there. We meet people, we eat with them, we spent time with them. We spent time with three different groups in three different places. Travel's hard over there. It's a 6-hour drive over there. It's kind of excruciating, but it's well worth it. It's just not the same as it is if you get in your car here and drive 6 hours down to Dallas or something like that. It's not too hard, but over there it's a little bit tougher. There's definitely not a gas station with snacks and drinks and on every other corner. So it's just a little different.
No washrooms.
Yeah, no washrooms. So there, you can stop, but it's different. So, but we met with three different groups and three different places, three different trips, and each place is a potential place to build a church. They have a need. They have people. They met kind of like a mandate from Sign Fellowship to go out and make an impact on five different villages and then five more, you know, in a certain amount of time. And making an impact is more than just go there and preach. It's to actually make an impact.
Yes.
So what you would think. So I think we picked a project to do. They've already got a little bit of a head start on it. Not much, but they got a lot of willing people and a great heart. And they have a great pastor. And they have a vision to build their church. And they have that need also. So, but we make connection with them. We become family. So more than just a buddy, we become friends and we become family. So that means something to us, and it certainly means something to them. And we look forward to seeing the church raised up, but seeing them blessed and multiplied.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Thank you so much. It's such a joy to see Paul with his team coming to India very, very regular. It needs commitment, dedication, and perseverance, because it's not the easy thing to do, go to India. Right from beginning, they have their challenges. Harvey knows that right from the day one, the moment you step in, you don't feel different. You don't feel the same what it is here. It's different. And also, your faith levels will rise up so powerfully because the travel, the roads, the driving will make you to get closer to God. Every time you pray, Lord, if I go to heaven from this place, please forgive me and all my sins, everything what I have done and all, straight away I can go. So it's so edgy kind of a thing, all the roads, everything. Traveling in US is different, traveling in India is different. So definitely it's a big challenge, but the vision is, let me tell you, the vision is 1,000 churches. The 1,000 churches. That's what we want to do. I mean, to bless the people. I think we had Peter coming in the beginning. He was almost, flat on those days. And we have other people, they have come. And I just want to encourage you guys, make it like Harvey came once. I think you will definitely something different. You know, that's one thing. And also we have Eddie coming all the way from Louisiana just to see us, to be a part of this worship. So thank you, Eddie. Give her a big round of applause. It's long travel, 5-6 hours travel coming all the way. We know each other, my wife and all, for a long time. So that's what relationships are not just professional, they are relational, it goes as a family. So thank you, Eddie, for coming, being a part of this service. And also I come with my wife this time. It was a little difficult to, everything is changed now. We appreciate you guys. Trump got elected for one good reason. You all know that. But, the entry part is not that easy. But God has been so good to us. And everything went on well. So we are here. And I just want to share a few thoughts. Thank you, Alan, for letting me in to share the word. And this morning, before I preach, I just want to see how these things happen, because we are involved in church planting ministry. We are planning in this 10 years of time, we want to plant 3,400 churches. Already 95 churches have been planted in the tribal areas where there is no church. That's the beauty. You can see that. Because when I say that, when we are planting, grace has a part in it. Yeah. It's not that, you are just watching it, but you are taking a part in it. So every one of you, I welcome you to come to India sometime, see what's happening there. And also, people are, being blessed. We are having this Light Up Telangana. That means my state is Telangana, where we have motivated 40,000 churches, 40,000 churches to reach out each month, each church one soul minimum one soul. So that makes a big dynamics in the kingdom of God. So everybody, those who are called by God, washed by His blood, they have a purpose. We are not here to come, get saved, and sit, lay back, and go to heaven without anything, doing nothing. So that's what I always encourage my people in the church, that at least by the time you die, at least you become a house group leader. Don't die just as a believer, at least a house group leader, so that you can be a blessing to 15, 20 people at the end of your life. So this is the challenge to the church, because in India, the darkness is everywhere. We want to plant. We don't want transplant. Plant is different. Transplant is different. If you have a good worship, everything is good. People come, and if for small reason, they get offended and go off. But your family will never go out. They stay with you till the last. That is what family God is building in grace. So I was praying what exactly I could share this morning to the church. The confession, what we make in our Christian life matters most. The power of confession. what you confess, the word of God into your life. That makes a big difference. Let me tell you this, what is a confession means. You know, you speak to your own self what speaks to you. So this is the point, because I think you can understand my English little bit. If you don't understand, you ask God, Lord, this guy is speaking something different, a different language, or something like, you know, please let me understand. So whenever I come here, speak in this US churches, I say only one thing. Lord, I make sounds, you make sense. End of the day, you make sense, Lord, because I want you to get to this word, beloved. Speak to your own self what speaks to you. Now, the word of God is being released into your lives. It's not another Sunday, just not another Sunday. It's something special. What is spoken to you, what the word is released in your lives, you speak to yourself. That is confession. What is given to you. So when the word comes to you, because in Romans 10:17 it is said, faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. When you, how the faith comes to you, because Jesus is the author and finisher of faith. Now what is faith? Faith is, you know, a substance, things hoped for, and evidence, things not seen. So you don't see those things, but faith gives you that evidence. And you can have a substance, what you are hoping for. Like this is a substance, what I'm hoping for. Faith makes the what you are hoping for as a substance, you can see and feel that. Others cannot do that, but you can see that. So that's what, you know. Now, the word, when you say that, if you look at the Greek word for logos, the meaning, in English it is just said as word. But the Greek says they have four meanings. One is understanding. Another one is reason. Third is intelligence. Fourth is a purpose. So it is understanding. When the word of God is released, spoken in the realm, it gives you an understanding. It gives you a reason to live by. It gives you an intelligence to work out on your life. And it gives you a purpose. This is the word. Not just speaking for the day, but this makes you to walk by. That's why the Bible says the just shall live by faith. That's what happens. So once you get this word, then the power of the word. If you look at Isaiah chapter 55 verse 11, let me read it for you. So shall my word be that goes forth my mouth, it shall never return me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So it will never come back to God in void. That's what the word which released from his mouth. The people who are sitting here, there is a word from the Lord into your lives. That's very evident. There's a word. There is a promise. And God, when he makes a promise, he will never take it back. He is a promise keeper and is a promise maker. And a promise maker, promise keeper, and also promise fulfiller. This is what the Lord does for us. So now, when God was talking to Jeremiah, he was talking to Jeremiah, I put my words in your mouth. When God says, let there be light, there was light. There was light. So when the same God, he says, I'm putting my words in your mouth. Now when you say those words, it has got power. That's what, you know, the Christians, they look ordinary, but they live an extraordinary life. They look natural, but they are supernatural. You might go to a grocery store, you might walk around, people might see you a normal person, but in the spirit realm, you are absolutely a different person. That's what we need to realize in our understanding, beloved. That's why, you know, the word, in a word, it is like, you know, a confession has got a Greek word, that is homologio. What God says, you should agree. Whatever God speaks into your life, you should say yes to that. The same thing what God says, that is the most important thing in our lives. So this morning, I just feel that, you know, how much is the power of our confession. The power of our confession, what you confess, that makes happen in our lives. If you look at Proverbs 18:21, the life and death are in the power of the tongue. I said, Lord, how could that happen? The life and death. You can release life by your tongue. You can release death by your tongue. That is what the Bible says, the word of God says. It's for you to release life into the situation. Speak life into the situation. In India, the culture makes you not to say a negative word. Suppose if the groceries in the house are not there, totally gone, the housewife will say that the groceries are full, can you get something? Now you got it. They will never say it's over. Once they say it's over, it could be over for them for a season, for a lifetime. So they never want to make a negative word when they speak to each other. So when they want to say something, they say, bless you. Even when something goes wrong, they say, still they bless you. That's what the word they say. Then I realized this. The power of the confession. What makes, you know, what happens to us. If you look at Romans chapter 10 verse 9, we all know that. We got saved through the confession. We confessed by our mouth, believed in our hearts. That's one thing. And also second thing, you know, another one, you can say the forgiveness of our sins. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess our sins, you will be forgiven. He is faithful to forgive us. And also if you confess with one another, and you can pray for one another, you can be healed. The healing comes by our confession of our trespasses. So this is what I want to give you a background of confession, beloved. So if you look at these things, now, the negative confession. If you look at the Bible, there are some people who made negative confessions that affected their lives. Rachel, if you see Genesis chapter 30 verse 1, she was talking to Jacob because she was barren. Her sister got children and she said, give me children. Otherwise, I will die. So she made a confession, a statement that, you know, give me children. And Jacob was so upset, he said, am I God to give you? But what happened to Rachel? That she died young, beloved. So never ever make a confession which affects your future, your life. And never ever make a confession about your children. This is another point. Whenever you see your children, they might not be doing good, but never make a negative confession over them. I have my son, I think, Alan talked to him, Prince, and he's like a, when he was in his college, Paul knows him very well, and when he was in his college, one day his, the principal, you know, that guy, physical director called me, because since he being my friend, he called me. He said, Mohan, I want to talk to you. I said, please. He said, I want to talk to you about your son, Prince. I said, please. He said, he's not coming to classes. He's not attending classes. Then I said, what is the big deal in that? When I was in my college, I was also not attending classes. So there is no big deal. No, he's quarreling with people. He's making all sorts of, you know, confusion, commotion. I said, yes, it's common. Even I was doing the same when I was in the college. So tell me what exactly you want to say. Then he said, he is not going to make it in his life. He will end up as a failure. Then I heard him speaking all that what he has to say. Then I said, my dear friend, let me tell you something. What you say, I reject it right now. I reject that. Let me tell you one thing. God is with me. God is for me. I am going to make a confession for my son. One day he'll be successful. One day he will make it big. Today is never be today for him. There is a bright tomorrow for him. So what is today, it's okay. But tomorrow belongs to God. He is working out in his life. He will make it big and better. So then he said, then I told him, that day I will come to you. I'll come to you and talk to you. I was looking straight into his eyes. Then things started happening after that. We forgot. But Prince went to UK and came back and got married. He got into business. Very successful businessman today. And one day I happened to see him. Then he said, hey Mohan, I told you already that you will make it big. It was not the right word. He is taking my word. But then I said, God is for you. Who can be against you? This morning, I just want to encourage you, never allow people to speak against you or your children. You don't say any negative word. That's what it is. When I have my small John, who might come to Dallas on his job. When he was young, I have decided one thing. You know what? I said, I want to tell a word, positive words, no negative. John, you are a good boy. One day, he came with breaking his toy into two pieces. Multiplication was his big job. Always makes a multiply. He said, multiply. And he came with two pieces. And he looked at me. He said, Dad, am I still a good boy? Now it's my turn. Inside commotion. A big time. I want to say something. But I have decided not to say anything. Then I told him, John, still you are a good boy. It doesn't matter breaking those things, but you are still a good boy. He looked at me, smiled at me, and then took those two things. Now you see that. It is, your word has power. That's what the Bible says. The tongue, your confession, makes a big difference. Now here, Rachel made a negative confession. Even Job made a negative confession in his life. He was dreadful. He was fearful about his children. Whatever was fearful, it has come on me. Whatever I was dreadful, it has happened to me. That's what Job was telling. So never make a negative statement, a negative confession in your life, beloved. That's the most important thing in our Christian life. Now let me say that some positive confessions, how it happened. The positive confession. What is that? Noah. God said, build an ark. For 120 years, he believed what God told him. He said, same thing. Confession is homologio. What God says, I will say the same thing. No rain. He never saw even a drop of rain in entire his life. But still he believed God. Sometimes in our lives, what God says, you might not have heard of it. But God says, believe in my word. I will make it happen. That's what for some of you, beloved. And then comes the next one. If you look at another person, Abraham. Abraham, God promised him a son. You know how long he has waited? 24 long years. Not one, two, 24 long years. He was waiting. At one point of time, when he went to Abimelech, and you know the story, I don't want to bring it out in a big way, but God dealt with Abimelech. He said, he's a prophet, he's my man. He's struggling today. Abraham was struggling. He spoke a lie. But God said, though he's struggling, he's my man. But when he prays, he will bless you. So Abimelech, his women, they were barren. Then Abraham prayed for them, beloved. At the time of when he was praying, his wife was barren. His wife was barren. But God told him to pray. Sometimes, pastor might not be rich, but when he prays, people will become rich. They receive the blessings. Sometimes pastor must be struggling with his health issues, but when he prays, people receive healings. These things will happen. So this is what, in Abraham's life, 24 long years he waited. But what he did, 24 long years he was confessing. One day, I'll see my descendants as the stars in the sky and sand at the sea. This is what he was confessing, beloved. So I just want to encourage you this morning. Never miss what God has spoken in your lives. For grace, let me tell you, God has seen grace in a big way. A day will come, you will struggle to find a seat in this church. You have to struggle to come early to get a seat in this church. That's what happens. How many of you believe that? That happens. Make a confession. People will be healed here. This church will be known for the manifest presence of God. That is a confession, beloved. That is the word of God. I have been visiting Grace for almost 20 plus 25 years. I have seen these things. There is a vision for Grace. When Paul is coming to India, it's Grace involved in the missions. When Harvey is going to Guatemala and other places, Grace is involved in the missions. You're all a part of it. It's not somebody's going on their own. It's grace. That is a vision of grace, to touch and transform the lives of the people. Now you may ask me one thing. Grace is being attacked. Why? Can I say something to you guys? Because when God was talking to devil, what he said? In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The seed of the woman will trample your head. Right? The seed of the woman will trample your head. So now the devil was looking for the seed who can trample his head. The devil was not worried about others. Only the one who can trample the head of his head. That's why he contaminated the whole generation of Noah. Entire generation. There is no one. Because he knew that he might have thought Cain or Abel. But Abel was killed. Cain was ended up as a murderer. All those things happened for one reason. He was looking for the one who can trample and crush his head. You know what? For this reason, God has raised grace to crush the head of the devil. If you believe it, you say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Give a big round of applause to the Lord. If you believe that. So, whatever God raises, the devil attacks. That's the point. So now, the positive confession. What is a positive confession? Caleb. God promised Caleb. You know, that one day you are going to get the mountain. That was released into Caleb's life. Moses was there. Joshua was there. And what happened? They went into to spy the land. 12 people, 10 came. They gave a negative report. 2 gave a positive report. Because people believed in the this 10 people's report, they stayed in the wilderness for 40 years. The people have no vision. Just enjoy, sit, enjoy, eat, and enjoy, that's all. That was never God's intention for the children of Israelites. God wanted them to conquer the promised land, possess the promised land. What is the promised land for grace? Cabot is the promised land. Arkansas is the promised land. The nations of the world is the promised land. Don't limit God because of your understanding. A day will come. You see, the thousands and thousands will be coming into the kingdom of God. I believe that. I see that in my lifetime. That's what happens, beloved. So now, Caleb, where was he living for 40 years? Among the negative people. A people, they do not have vision. They speak negative all the time. Breakfast time, negative words. Lunch time, negative words. Dinner time, negative words. But what made Caleb to pursue his vision, beloved? Because he believed God. He was focused what God has given to him. He was consistent in confessing the promise of God in his life. This morning I want to challenge you for your personal life, your family life, your church life. Don't allow any negative statement or negative word to dominate your thought process. Reject those things, because you are the people of vision. You received the promise of God. Caleb, only one guy was with him. He used to go to Joshua. He used to say, Joshua, everywhere negative, only one person. Caleb, no worries, we'll make it. We'll make it. This morning, beloved, I just want to encourage you. What God has planned in your life, it's going to happen. Nobody can stop it. My dad used to say one thing. For God, how the devil looks like? Devil looks like an ant. We make the devil bigger. Oh, devil. For God, any time, God can smash it. That's all-powerful God. Who can stop God's purposes in this world? Not the devil. It's you and me. You and me. If you say yes to God, it will happen. If you say no to God, it is in the problem, beloved. So this morning, this is a challenge for grace. Every one of you. You have to come out of that wilderness kind of a situation. The negative situation. It's God has promised. When Caleb was talking to Joshua, after 45 years, he still kept that promise. He said, Joshua, when God made a promise, you were there. Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. I want this mountain from God. It's not an easy thing. The greatest of the enemy is owning that mountain. What is the vision and purpose of grace? To get that mountain, beloved. To bring down the dark forces which are dominating Cabot and this state of Arkansas. That's what it is. It's your mandate. If you take the mandate, you'll have the mantle. That's what this morning I just want to encourage you. People will come. It's not the question of people. God is talking to the people who are here right now. Everyone can become a burning bush. Everyone can be a big time preachers, moving in the mighty, miraculous signs and wonders. God wants your commitment. What is your commitment to the vision of grace? We have one police officer who used to come, who comes to our church even now. She comes. One day she said, she was going all other places. Thank you so much. All other places. And then God told her, this is your church. Not that other churches are bad. They are good churches. But God said, this is your church. And through from here, I will see my purposes being fulfilled in your life. And she came and told me. You know what she said once? Pastor, even if you ask me to get out of the church, I will not go. What a blessed sister she is. I truly appreciate her. For one small reason, if one song is not sung properly, people are leaving churches. Small offense, people are leaving. How many people have followed Jesus till the cross? Only one. Thousands, he blessed them, healed them, delivered them from the sicknesses. Thousands and thousands. Lakhs, you can say. Then, 70 people, they were there doing ministry, casting out demons, raising the dead, all that they have done. But one word, eat my bread, drink my blood, offense. Offenses are very, very strong things, beloved. It will take out from our vision. So they left. How about 12 disciples? 12 disciples. They have seen the best of the miracles. Judas Iscariot seen Jesus walking on the waters. All that. He was at the feet of Jesus, who is one of the best teachers the world has ever seen. The best person to live on the face of the earth. But because Judas doesn't want to change himself, that never affected his lifestyle. What a pathetic situation Judas has gone through. He has to betray him by selling him off. Then three disciples, those were intimate, seen the transfiguration, seen him struggling in the Garden of Gethsemane, but to the cross, only one went, John the Apostle. He defied death, beloved. Initially, he struggled, but one person. Could you be that one person? Follow Jesus till the cross. That's the point, beloved. Can I tell you one story before I close? I think I'm almost done. Just now you sang a song. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. You know the song. Mostly in Billy Graham's crusades, the song is being sung. But you know where it is originated? In India. In India. If you don't believe in me, you can Google it. The Google gives you the best information nowadays. You can Google that. You know what happened? Now the present Mizoram state, the northeast, when the Welsh revival has taken place, the people went to these tribal areas to preach the gospel. One guy, his name is Nokzeng, he has accepted the Lord with his family. The tribal, the community was so upset with what has happened. They called him, made him to stand, between the entire tribals standing around them. And the tribal chief said, if you don't denounce Jesus Christ now, we are going to kill your family first, then you next. Then he said, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. One man. God spoke to one man, Abraham, made a difference. God spoke to one man, Noah, made a difference. God spoke to one man, Gideon, made a difference. One man. God wants, beloved. Is that, you are that one man, one person. Man means women and man, one person. This person, when they put their arrows, you know, to pierce into his body. First of all, when he said no, then this song came. He made a confession, a good confession like Jesus Christ before Pontius Pilate, a good confession. He said, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Then they killed his wife and children. For a person, for a man, the weakest point is his wife and his children. They were in the pool of blood. Then they asked him again, still you have a chance. If you say no to Jesus, we'll let you live. And he was not talking to the tribal chief, but he was talking to the death straight into its eyes. Because they were ready to release the arrows. He said, the cross is before me, the world is behind me. I have decided to follow Jesus. If no one comes, it doesn't matter. Still I follow Jesus. And they released the arrows. He was dead. And they thought, how crazy this guy is. How crazy this one. And after a month, they were thinking, what made him to be like that? And after a month, the entire tribe, including the chief, they accepted Jesus Christ. What a commitment, beloved. One man's commitment made a big difference, beloved. And that song was popularized in India. Then they brought it to England. They gave some lyrics. And now it was introduced in Billy Graham's crusade. So people thought it's just a salvation song. No, no, no. It's good to sing at the time of salvation, but it's not just a salvation song. It's the song which came out staring at the death. What is your commitment? Small offense, cross is before me. Whatever it is, I can go and make it happen, beloved. That's why this morning, I just want to encourage you. Make a confession. Ask God, Lord, whatever you say, homologio, whatever you say, Lord, in my life, I speak the same word into my life. Same word into my life. The Bible says in Joel 3:10, let the weak say, I am strong. What is that word? The weak say, I am strong. It's not that, you know, what you are, what you are going to be. What you see, don't say. What you don't see, you say that. I'm going to be strong one day. That confession will come to pass in our lives, beloved. Grace will see the best of the days in the days to come. There will be so many signs, miracles, wonders will happen in this very place. And this place is not going to be the only place. This will end up as a Sunday school. How many of you believe that? Believe that? Confess. And it's going to be a bigger place for grace. Because you have more place here, it's going to happen. Do you believe that? This is the word is being released into your lives, into the spirit realm. Because this is God's heart for us. So what makes a difference? Your decision, your confession to follow Jesus. I want to contribute myself, my commitment, my dedication, my life for the cause of the vision which God has given to grace. I stand with Pastor Allen, Pastor Harvey, Pastor, you know, Daniel, Pastor Taylor, those who are leaders, those who are there, Rick, and all those, Kelly, leaders, I will stand with them. I work with them, hand in hand, with shoulder. One day, we'll see the best, beloved. That's what I want to encourage you. Finally, if you rise up to your feet, I just want to make a confession what David has made. When David was young, at the age of 17, and this was the first psalm he sang. He has written. This is a prophetic confession he made when he was a young lad. Young lad, 17-year-old. What is that psalm? 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He was 17-year-old young man. You know the whole thing. Even though if I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil. Because you are with me, your staff and your rod protects me. So this morning, beloved, you can go through all that. I have so many things to share. But let me close it with this word. That whatever you make a confession, that's going to happen in our lives. So I want you to make a positive confession. Despite of negative situations, don't give up. Don't say that it's over. It's the beginning of a new era. It's the beginning of a new era. The sound of the rain we are hearing now. The revival is coming back. The fire is coming back. And you are a blessed one because you are going to witness a mighty revival Cabot has never ever seen in the past. This is the place anybody can come. They will be healed even without being prayed for. When the message is being released, people will be healed. I have seen that. Once I was preaching here, when I came down, one lady came to me and said, Pastor, I was deaf, but the way when you preached, I could able to listen. That happened here. Many times, I think Harvey can tell you hundreds of stories. Alan can tell you hundreds of stories. That's going to happen. It's going to repeat again and again. Only one thing. Let the weak say, I am strong. Don't say that, I'm weak, but you say, I'm strong. God is going to make us strong, beloved. This morning, I just want to offer a word of prayer before I close. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, the power of positive confession, Lord. This morning we are making a confession, Lord God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. It speaks about the understanding, reason, intelligence, and purpose, Lord. The word which is released from your mouth will never come back void, Lord. You spoke so many words about grace, so many prophetic utterances. They will never come void, my God. And you have put your words in the mouths of these dear ones. Let them speak out. The life in abundance, Lord. And also, Lord, Caleb, midst of adverse conditions, midst of adverse negative people, will it happen? Can we go? It's all over. But Caleb refused those negative words. He said, I will make it. Because the one who made the promise is a faithful one. He will never make me fail. That's what Caleb said. He fought for the mountain. Today, Lord, this grace will reach and conquer that mountain. What people will never even think of it, Lord. Bless them, Lord. And also, Lord, let there be a decision this morning, Lord. The Noxan, the tribal person, made a commitment and a decision, staring at death. I have decided to follow Jesus. Let it be a lifetime conviction, Lord God, to follow you all the days of our lives, Lord God. Let this word bear fruit in the lives of these dear ones. We bless them, Lord. Let this word bear fruit in their lives. In Jesus' most precious name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you so very much.
It's on. Listen to that. We have it on podcast. It'll be online. I think we need to dissect and apply that. I think every one of us have promises. We as a church have promises. And we choose whether we believe those promises or not. So this morning, we'd love to pray with you if you're here and you this is your first time to decide to follow Jesus. It'd be a perfect day to make that decision. If you have promises in your life that God was speaking to you as Pastor Mohan's speaking, and you'd like somebody to pray with you, we would love to pray with you. These teams are up here to do that, okay? So you guys, have thank you for being here this morning. Thank you, Pastor Mohan. That was, I think it was a historical word for us as Grace Fellowship. Amen. Every one of you are important to us. Every one of you matter. God bless you guys. Have a good day.